And so they did say that they don't want to use the response. What Thomas did it.
Yeah, I think I clicked on the SharePoint. There was like.
What was the question? No. I figure.
But yeah.
Oh, I wanted to.
Holly, you're the JMU, you start at JMU, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my three kids, well, one is still there, she graduated. So, yeah, we love JMU.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of fun, I was just there for homecoming.
They won too, their record's so good this year, always. That's exciting. My daughter just applied, she's an RA this year, she just applied to be an undergraduate hall director. So, I know.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. So, RA, you know, you're just basically in charge of your floor.
She's an RA now.
She's an RA now, yeah. She's the next level up. Yeah, so it's next. She's then in charge of, like, years different. But I don't know, she just got in and she wanted to do it.
I don't need a list.
So, RA.
No, she was asking, it was for a timer. I was like, hey, these people have
been doing this for a while. But the hall director, you get a whole apartment for free plus a salad. And so anything that can help it pay for all the time.
But it's good to see people who are responsible for that. What hall is she in?
Right now, she is in, she's in Hillside. Yeah, she really likes it.
I'm guessing she doesn't get to choose.
She does not get to choose, but that's okay. She'd be fine with that. So
it was good for you too.
Yeah, it's super hard. My third, and then I have one more on the way.
Also going to JMU, or you don't?
I don't know. He's a junior this year, so praying for
legacy happening there with your kid.
We would love to go to school for college.
Test.
And so.
Seems to be working.
It'd be very hard to play at JMU.
They really up with their program.
They have
10 years.
Yeah.
But so like if you want to shoot, yes.
It's hard. You know, every athlete.
The upside. Your soccer program is very good and
online audio check. See, we've got Deborah and Mark and Kristen. Can you guys hear me? Anyone? Can
I hear you, Noah? Yeah, I can hear you.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
And like starters that are on a high school team trying out. It's not like a random, like, oh, I think we'll try softball. Very
similar. Since we lived in that area, my kids went to a school. Somebody was competing with all like the North Virginia kids and the Jersey kids.
Yeah.
And they were guys that played.
God, he's taking a soccer game.
And then when we were playing, like, oh,
look who it is. So this year they just assumed we could
have changed last year.
Oh, this year they could just show up.
We sat next to each other one time, that's right.
We get that one slash round.
I know, that's fine. She's from Virginia.
He went to the open, but heads up, like, coming to Navy.
No, I Thank you.
Tell you something that just happened. I was down in new employee orientation, and somebody just joined. So was down in new employee orientation, and I look up and it's just 10 o'clock. So I'm rushing through to get here because I don't want to be late. And as I'm going through the cubes, just something caught my eye, and I looked, and I was like, oh, that poor person didn't have time to do their hair this morning. I mean, that's what came through my mind. You know, I'm not saying out loud, but I was in my mind. But as I walked over close, I was like, oh, well, that's a skeleton with a big wig on her head. So you never know what's going to happen in this office. So it's all good. All right. So this morning, before I get into connection before content, for those that are online, watch your email because Elizabeth Bracey is going to be reaching out to a couple of you during this meeting as a part of something that we're doing later in the agenda. So if you're online this morning, be sure to check your email. All right, let's jump into connection before content. Now, I am going to switch around the agenda a little bit to let our guests kick off this morning. Recently, I was reading an article, and it was titled "Understanding Selective Attention." If you can imagine that, me reading a psychology article, but it was a very interesting article, and it reminded me of a trip that I took earlier in the year. Now, you all know that I like to spend a lot of time outdoors. I like to spend time on the river. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So this was a trip that my buddy Mark Shupin and I went early in the year this year. But the thing that was different about that, you can change so I don't have to look at my legs. The difference was on this trip is when these guys and I get together and we fish, we usually go to the same rivers over and over again. And for some reason this year, when we kicked off the season, I had in my mind that I was going to do something different. I was going to go to one that I had not hit before. We hadn't looked at it. We hadn't done anything, but we found this place where we could drop into this river. River, and that's what we did. So as you can see, when we got on the river was a little bit up, okay? It was very, very cold that day, very, very cold that day. But the river was up and the fishing was great to start off, okay? But again, we had never been here before. So as the day progressed, next slide, the river started getting a little bit fun, okay?
Yep.
And then as the day progressed, go ahead. The river got real fun. Go ahead to the next one. And then we started to really have a good time. Okay? So, go on to the next slide. It got me thinking when I was reading this article about that trip that, you know, sometimes when we focus on doing everything the same each and every day, when we focus on the same goal, when we focus on doing things exactly the same, we oftentimes end up missing out on other things. It's the psychology. It's the psychology of what we see and what we don't see. Selective perception is a double-edged sword. While focus is crucial for achieving goals, it can also blind us to what we're not actively paying attention to. This was famously shown in the example, some of you have probably heard about this, called the invisible gorilla.
Yeah.
You heard about the invisible gorilla? So the invisible gorilla was a study that was done where they brought people into a room and they showed them a video of basketball players passing the ball. And essentially what they told the people was, the only purpose that you have here is to count the number of times those basketball players pass to each other. So everybody focused in. And then when it was done, they started going around and were like, Eric, how many times? Oh, it was 27 passes. Emma, how many times? Oh, it was 26 passes and whatnot. Afterwards, the question was, did any of you see the person that was dressed in the gorilla suit that walked through the basketball players? And nobody in the room did. Because they were so focused on one thing, they were not able to see something else that was going on. Go ahead, next one. It's the monkey business illusion at work and in life. Selective perception happens daily, and oftentimes we don't notice it. For example, in the workplace, how many times are we so focused on hitting the goals for the day that we overlook the fact that we're burning out our team? Or in our personal lives, where we focus so intently on achieving those specific goals that we have, the promotions, the perfect vacation, whatever that is, and we miss opportunities for connection with our family, with our friends, to find that joy, to find that growth along the way. The challenge comes in balancing that focus with the ability to notice the other treasures that we may be missing. Next one. So how do you spot what you're missing? One, it just takes intentional approach to broaden your view. Asking questions like, what haven't we considered here? What else is happening here that might impact the situation? And we talk about this a lot. It also includes inviting diverse perspectives, people that disagree with you to the table. Not necessarily surrounding yourself always with people who think and do things exactly the same way. Practice flexible attention. In psychology, there's a concept called attentional flexibility, which is the ability to shift between the big picture and the details when's needed. You need to practice that. Go ahead. And the balance between focus and awareness, this is just a powerful reminder that while focus is essential in our day-to-day jobs, it's equally important to balance it with curiosity and awareness of what's going on. Whether you're floating or fishing on a river or chasing your own goals in life, that key is to stay open, not just to what you're seeking, but to the unexpected joys that you may be missing. Just something to think about as we kick off today. All right. We do not have today a catching excellence. We didn't get anybody sending them in, so I want to encourage you all again. Highlight those people that are doing great things so that we can recognize them publicly. But I want to see who is with us for the first time today. Yeah? All right.
I'd like to introduce.
Here, let me give you the mic so we can do off.
Stand up. I would like to introduce Nikivia Thomas. She has joined Children's Programs, and she is an after-school specialist, and already she's off and running and exceeding my expectations.
Hi there. I'd like to introduce Prabjeet Kaur. She likes to go by Jeet, and she is also a brand new specialist with the children's programs, and she's come to us from being a supervisor over at Sanders Corner.
I got got any other first timers with us? No? We good? Okay. We're going to switch around and jump into Katie's presentation. I asked them to come because this is a program that the county has in place. Many of you all probably are aware of the facility or property manager, we used to call them facility wardens, program for how we hopefully don't ever have to, but in our industry, we do have to deal with this from time to time, and that is disruptive behavior with patrons that are coming in. I think that it's safe to say, folks, that stress levels over the last couple of years have been high, and I can tell you that I have gotten a lot of requests for bans over the last couple of years for situations that have occurred within our facilities, and it's just something that we all need to, one, take very seriously so that we can keep our patrons and our staff safe in situations like this, but there's also a very specific way that we have to go about dealing with safety at our facility. So this is a very, very good presentation. It's training that that everybody needs to go through, and I ask that you ask the questions that you have during this, because you all are the ones that are on the front line. You are the ones that are dealing with the patrons when things go haywire. And, you know, the number of times that I get disruptive patrons calling me, I know that you're dealing with a lot too. So this is a great training, and I'm going to ask Katie to come forward and introduce her team, and we will get rolling on this. Do you want to just stand here, or are you going to walk?
Oh, I walk.
There you go.
Good morning. My name is Katie Defoe. I am the crime prevention. Look, I'm going back to my old job. I was a police officer in Fairfax County for 20 years, and with that, I was the crime prevention officer for most of my career. So I rolled that in my retirement over to here, and I am the security program manager. I did start as a specialist, so I know what it's like to go into these places and ask these questions and answer these questions. So in the development of the property manager program, it's actually been in existence since 2012. I had an entire department ask me why this just came out. Well, it's been in effect since 2012. So we are going to go through this program as you being trained as the property manager. This is a big title with simply doing what we normally already do, but I'm giving you the power to take that next step and take control of your facility, your program, the event for which you are working, your parking lots, your facilities from the edge of the property to the tiniest of space. Next slide. That's kind of cool. So the purpose of this training is to understand EMER01. It is online. It is the correct version. It used to be the disruptive person ban. It is now disruptive ban policy because you don't have to have you don't have to ban the person. You can have a disruptive person, and you can have a disruptive person that you ban, but we changed some of the language so that it is how you deal with the situation and what we do with it afterwards. Next slide. We're going to define disruptive behavior and qualifying conduct. The standardized process for initiating a ban, the information that's needed for reports, and the reason we do reports is we'll get into that in that standardized process with that progressive ban periods. Then we have the county services that are still available during a ban. There are mandatory services that we cannot ban someone from, housing being one of them. And then explain the procedure of an appeal. It is anyone's right to appeal a ban, but there's a very specific process, not calling Steve. Next slide. So the delegation of authority. The delegation of authority. The Board of Supervisors has designated the county administrator to serve as the property owner and representative for all county facilities that is owned, leased, borrowed. If you are performing your job on a site, it is considered county facility. Property manager is the designated employee to implement and administer the policy. It addresses instances of disruptive behavior, and this is client-based, not employee-to-employee. It is not meant for that. We have specific HR policies for that. So any disruptive behavior instances that arise in facilities and or with that facility representative. Next slide. So a work area. A work area is just that. If you are doing work and your work, then that is considered a work area. We did not, I rewrote this. It was very specific in what a work area was, but we know that that's not how this goes. We know that that parking lots, that event space is not a standard thing. So it is a work area. If you are performing your a job function, then it is a work area. Building rules. Building rules vary. There is a set of 19 building rules that are in the Government Center, Shenandoah Building, Ridgetop. But you all have rules. You all have expectations of behavior inside of facilities. Those count. Next slide. Disruptive behavior. Disruptive behavior is any disorderly conduct that a reasonable person, who is a reasonable person? You, your staff, a patron that says this person is being disruptive. It disrupts or impedes normal business operations, the effective delivery of service, and or the maintenance of the safe work environment in a county facility. This does not have to be an overt action. This does not have to be wild and crazy. This is, our best example is we have a frequent visitor to some libraries that will commandeer an employee's time for 2 and 3 hours at a time. She's not being loud. She is not bothering anyone else, but she consistently latches on to someone today and for hours at a time interrupts their day. That is an example of disruptive behavior. It does not have to be combative. It does not have to be something that you would call the police for. It does not have to be, an employee does not have to be involved. If it is the safe work environment for a patron, we have workout space, we have activities, we have things that are outside of a normal safe work environment. It does not have to be something that is so egregious that everyone notices. And then all violations of criminal law, drinking, suspected drugs, weapon in a facility, it's really not a weapons violation, it's a trespassing violation, but still a violation of law. Okay? Those are all considered disruptive behavior. The explanation of that is whoever the property manager is has to be able to qualify what the disruption is. Okay? Next slide. So, interactions, right? We want voluntary compliance. That is what we're seeking. Hey, look, we can't do this. This is disrupting our staff meeting, and we need you to go somewhere else. So de-escalation, right? Find something to de-escalate whatever the complaint is. It could be, hey, look, I'm in a meeting, and I'll be done in an hour. I'd be more than happy to hear your complaints, but currently I'm busy. Okay. Personal safety. We do not want you to engage in anything that you are uncomfortable with. Meaning that if this person is, I was a police officer for 20 years. If the dude was 6'5 and 300 pounds, I was calling backup, regardless if I needed it or not. Why? Because if he hits me, I am now incapacitated, right? It has nothing to do with what's going on. It's simply, I know this isn't going to go by. This isn't going to go with me, right? So make sure you can safely engage a safe distance. What's a safe distance? Whatever you feel is a safe distance. We're not getting out the tape measure, right? This is my bubble. This is your bubble, right? It could be bigger or smaller for pick an individual, okay? It is you and your staff that qualify this. And law enforcement, should there be an incident that is going to escalate to a disruptive person and a possible ban, the number is 911. It is not the non-emergency number. It is not the number to the back office to see if we should call. The number is 911. The reason being, we want law enforcement to be on the way in case something escalates. It's fantastic when law enforcement shows up and there's nothing wrong. Can you still make a report on that behavior to the officer that arrives? Absolutely. And I encourage you to do so. Because that starts that train of behavior. It starts the pattern of behavior and the record of it. Because we have a progressive ban period. I did a lot of work on this to get this to be a functioning document that has hard and fast rules for a ban and a trespass procedure. First violation. First violation is a 1 day, 24 hour. The old policy, it said next business day. So at closing, if someone refused to leave, here's your ban. They could be back at opening tomorrow. Not a whole lot of punitive on that. There were some people that worked that system really well. All right, so it is a 24-hour ban. On the form is date and time. Because it's your 24 hours, you can't be back until tomorrow at 5:24 p.m. Right? Second violation is a 7-day ban, right? We've already calculated, we've already recorded that incident that gave us a 24-hour ban. They didn't violate that. They come back after their 24-hour ban. It's like a week later, doing the same stuff. Well, we've already warned you once. We've given you that notice that you can't be here because of your disruptive behavior. Now it's a week, 7 days. Again, there's a place on the form that says 24-hour circle or 7-day circle, time of event, and it is 7 days from that. With that, it can include all facilities. If we can't behave in one, are we welcome at others? If the behavior is specific to workout areas, do we know for sure that they're not going to go somewhere else? We don't. So that's a department kind of decision. It can be from A, the location that they're at currently, or it can be written as all facilities. Obviously, that is one of those, not a snap decision to make, but it is a decision of, do we just make it always that? I do know the libraries do that. 1 day ban, not so much, but 7 day ban, it is from all libraries. If you can't behave at one, then you don't get the privilege of going to any library. All right, you're good. Third and subsequent. After 7 days, that conversation starts with OEM and the county administration about extending a ban. So the next period is 30 days. We have asked for 6 months. We have currently a year-long ban in place. But with that, it goes through safety and security. It goes through the county attorney. We make our recommendation to send to Mr. Hemstreet and county administration. That's where that police report, and that's where that pattern of behavior and the things that you have recorded about this individual come into play. Because you have done the documentation of this person has been disruptive, and that we've had multiple interactions. When we go to make those recommendations, we have all of that information. It's really, really hard for us as safety and security to say, well, we've never heard of this dude. We don't even have him in our system. How do we go forth and say, yeah, this is a problem? Because we have all of those things in place already. Criminal charges also help in that determination. Our 1 year ban was a criminal act. It did not take a whole lot of convincing, but depending on the situation, it is how much the facility has recorded and how much information has been passed along that benefits us in going up to Mr. Hemstreet to say, hey, look, our recommendation is they don't come back at all. Okay? So here's the ban form. It's pretty simple. The qualifying statement in the middle is the important part. It says, and usually this is something that, I mean, I have it pretty memorized. I do this, unfortunately, more than I would like to admit. But we have countywide property manager status for any county property. So when you see the tents pop up, that means that someone from our office is going. So I know this pretty well. It says, I am the designated property manager for this Loudoun County work area. This Loudoun County property, this Loudoun County event, I have the authority to ban individuals for disruptive behavior. Effective immediately, you are banned from this property and you must leave. And it's leave the property. So if it is an event, you are out of the event. Community center, off the property means out of the parking lot. Okay, it is not just where you're standing, it is a property-based thing. So, you can see, oh, I cut it off. There is, the form that says you circle 24 hours, 7 days, the date that it was initiated. So if it's today at 10 a.m., then a 24-hour ban would be tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pretty simple. Should they not adhere to this and they show up tomorrow at opening, are they in violation? Yes. Okay. Again, the number is 911. They have just violated this. They are trespassing. Trespassing in Virginia carries a 1 year and $2,500 fine. Not or, and. Now, this is up to a judge. We've been to court a couple times. We normally see a small fine and the judge very sternly saying, you are not allowed on this property. So this is our, yeah, there it is, 24, 7 days, date and time of notification. So that's the statement. I am the designated property manager for this Loudoun County property. I have the ability to tell you that you are banned for your disruptive behavior. Effective immediately, you are to leave this property. It's pretty simple, but that is the qualifying statement. Usually, if law enforcement shows up, they like to have you say this in their presence, and then they put it in their police report, which means maybe you're not working tomorrow. Somebody shows up, you say, oh, officer, it's in his report from yesterday. Bloop, 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 bloop. Proof of that, notice is given, we are in violation. Next slide. So, individual, the information on the individual, we do not always know everyone's name. We know what they look like, we know what they were wearing, We need to put all of that information into this and an incident report. Here's where it comes in handy. You're gonna call safety and security or email safety and security and say, hey, look, this just happened. I'm looking for a picture. This is what they look like. This is what they were wearing. We get awesome still shots, right? There are some that have permission to do that at locations. They're reviewing and the capturing. If you don't want to spend the time, call us. We're actually pretty well versed at this point, looking up video. There are a lot of cameras. So if you need that, what we're going to go off of is the information that you provide us. We don't need to know their name, but we need to know what they look like, what they were wearing, anything that would distinguish them, carrying a backpack, weird shoes, red sweatpants, yellow jacket. Pretty easy to find on a video. Okay? So the more detail, the better. It's just the on the form, the address of the actual facility. And if it's going to be all facilities, later on that form, banned from all PRCS facilities. Next. Time frame, we're circling. Administrative, it means that you, so this is my wink, wink, nod, nod. Please, everyone, scan that QR code at the bottom, at the end of the day, because that's going to be your attendance for this training. If I don't have that, you'll be doing this again. So make sure that you fill that out. That is going to be your attendance and the completion of this training, which means that you're going to sign that piece of paper and someone says, well, how do you know that you have the right to do that? Because Katie said, I attended this class. She has provided the training. I am a trained property manager. You can keep going. You guys write reports. I don't need to go over that. Keep going. Law enforcement. Okay, when law enforcement shows up and you say, I have banned this person, they might ask you to repeat. They also have a form. So let's say that you haven't had enough time to go find this piece of paper. Here's the cool thing. They're going to get one out that's blank, and it's going to say the exact same thing. Okay, don't sweat the form if law enforcement is on the way. Usually it means because we don't have time or something's going not the way we wanted it to. Don't worry about that. Okay, make sure though they give you a card with the case number and their name. Why? Because if they want the footage, they can call us and I'm going to give them all the footage they want. So then when it goes to court and they say, well, how do you know? Well, here, Your Honor, here is the video of the employee telling them to leave, the disruptive behavior. Here's me showing up. I wrote the paper. Here we go. Okay? So, county services during a banned period. There are a couple services that are considered mandatory. Housing is one of them. We cannot. Now, you can be banned from transitional housing, the homeless shelter, the drop-in centers. You can be banned from them. But as a general banning, that you are banned from a PRCS facility, a library, you cannot ban someone from that mandatory service of housing. You cannot ban someone from a mental health or medical appointment. However, it does not mean that they need to return to that building. If there is some kind of service that they say, look, well, I have a doctor's appointment, I have to come here, please let safety and security know, because we can facilitate that appointment to be elsewhere. We have resources that we can put into place that they still get their mandatory service, but it does not necessarily mean it has to be in the facility for which they're banned. Library and community center services are not mandatory. Paying bills, mandatory. Attending a public meeting. This is where we kind of got in a trick bag with with libraries. They called us. They were having a board meeting, and they wanted to ban someone from coming in the door. So sorry. It's a public meeting. They have the right to be there. Can they get themselves thrown out of that meeting? They certainly can. But banning from having a ban somewhere else does not preclude them from attending a public meeting. Oh, there it is. So then there's the appeal. So the appeal is done through the county administrator's office. And while before it was a very specific person, we have made the decision to actually have that go to the recorded. It's a recording. It takes your information. And then wherever the ban came from will not be the same county administrator that oversees that department. So it was our biggest user of ban procedures is the library currently. And the static appeals officer was their county administrator. It's kind of like, hold on, maybe this is not the best idea. So know that it will get assigned to someone who is not in charge of the department that issued the ban. So you can, and most likely in a 24-hour ban, the ban period is probably over before the appeal happens. Well, because it's a progressive ban, you can have that one-day ban retracted, which means they're starting over at nothing. So their next ban would be a one-day ban. So that's where that comes into play. It has nothing to do with what the paperwork that's on file. It has to do with kind of putting it back at zero instead of starting at two. Okay, next. All right, so violations. We typically go to court. Because we're keeping records of who's had training, we have not been questioned by the courts to have the person who actually issued it, because we can say this person is trained, this is a facility, this is the person they banned, and the judges are pretty good at accepting that. We've been pretty supported in this. We've done this pretty methodically so that we close the loopholes that someone could say, well, how do we know? So that is why we kind of, that's the attendance thing, because if your name's on that list and it matches with the property manager, then we can say you have the authority and have been given the authority by the county administrator to issue this ban. Okay? Next. All right. So that's the easy part. Now, what are your questions? Yes?
So we have a lot of shared use facilities where it's school by day.
Yep.
And it's ours in the evening. Do we have the ability to ban that person for that 24-hour period from staying out of the school?
Okay, so the question is shared space with schools. Schools have it during the day and you have it in the evening. And what is the authority to ban them for 24 hours? You can ban them from the 24-hour period of your program. Okay, your program. We cannot ban a parent from the school. But we can ban a parent from the program.
It's not necessarily physical banning, it's more of a programmatic.
Correct. It'll have the location on it, right? Or if it's, you know, all of CASA, right? You are banned from any site. Okay? Those are the programs and the situations that you control. That is what we can ban from. I saw a hand, yes?
Is the ban progression indefinite or is there a timeline on that?
Good question. So is the ban timeline permanent or is there discretion? So we've had this, we've run into this. So we typically have the same people banned more than once. The question has come up of, is it always one day, 7 day, and then we're asking the county administrator? Well, that is up to whoever is dealing with the issue. Okay, we know that our frequent flyers have already received their 1 day and their 7 day bans. They don't show up for 6 months. They come in for another 4 months, they never make a peep. Then all of a sudden, 1 day, we're face to face with a librarian for more than 2 hours. Where do we start? That's a starting over at square one because they've abided by all the things that have happened before. Okay. Should it reach to the level that we're on our first ban. We're on our we've already done the 7 days of the second ban. However, they've used the facility, but they come back hard charging. And now they're escalating that behavior into farther than before. I would issue a 7-day ban, contact safety and security to further that ban to be something longer. But at least for that first 7 days, they're not allowed in the building without repercussions. We obviously cannot prevent them from entering the building, but we can sure call 911 when they do. Okay? You're banned. You can't be here. It's time for you to go. I'm not leaving. Doot, doot, doot. Right? That's all you need. Don't be afraid to call law enforcement. They do this daily. Okay? Legitimately. They have stacks of blank trespass letters in their bags, in their cars. Okay? They also really like to come, and they're going to be like, hey, you got to go. And most people won't comply with them. Some don't. Always fun to watch. But that's their job. But again, they love showing up and everything's under control. But it gives some meat and potatoes to your authority. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
I just need some clarification. Yep. For the after-school program. Yep. We share the outside space, and we have a situation where like 5 or 6 kids on motorized scooters and bicycles driving through when like 60 kids are dismissed to play outside, and they're walking along the sidewalk to the playground right where the bikes are coming through. So
they're in your program?
No, they're neighborhood kids.
That's what I'm saying. They are driving through your program after school hours. Yes. Guess who's already not doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Well, we do share the space with the community.
What is it on school grounds?
Playground.
Is it on school grounds?
Yes.
Then technically that's not there. That is after hours, and that is not the school's property at that point.
It's our property because we're
you have that. Yes, you have the rights to use that property. Have you ever talked to the school about it?
Yes, and the principal said it's after school hours. It's a community issue, not mine.
Okay, then the number's 911. If they're causing problems in your program,
okay,
then involve law enforcement. Okay? Because guess what? They're going to show up, and those kids are going to be like, I wonder if they're there for us. Right? It might dissuade them. However, can the officers ask them their names? Absolutely. Can we? They don't have to talk to us. Can officers take those kids home? Yes, they can. Can they talk to their parents? Yes, they can. Okay? It doesn't mean that we've called law enforcement, that there's going to be handcuffs, there's going to be screaming, there's going to be wrestling. Okay? The purpose of that is to say, I have control over this property, and these people are, you know, I've got little kids, they're on motorized things, they could hurt someone, right? We're not trying to get anyone in trouble. We're trying to keep our program and our charges safe. Okay, so don't look at it like they're coming, you know, handcuffs, all this. It is a safety thing. Okay?
Thank you.
With the scooters particularly and motorized things like that, the sheriff's office has very specific rules posted on their website about where they can operate, how they can be operated, and it's really not even from a car. So if they're screaming through parking lots or up on sidewalks, Sheriff's Office will tackle that. They have a whole thing on their webpage dedicated to how these e-scooters are running crazy. But they take that seriously, and that is something they will do.
Do I see another hand? Yes.
In regards to parks, you know, yes. we have multiple areas within the park that could be considered problematic areas. If something like this comes out, is it for the whole entire park or just the program area?
Whole entire park. It's property-based. It's property-based, yes. So, I'm sorry. So the question was, if there's an entire park, but there's a program only in one spot, it is property-based. So Loudoun County owns it, leases it, or has programs on it, which means permission to be there. Then the property manager has the authority to say, this is not within our program, And yes, you can. We can ask someone to leave. Yes. Yes. Not fair. Sitting next to the guy with the microphones.
There is an online question. This is from our Sterling Community Center. And he said, we have a consistent issue with unhoused sleeping and alcohol use on our outdoor pavilion, but when we call police, they never arrest. They just tell them to leave. Is there something else we have to do as PRCS to get a more active solution to detain?
So, great question. Is that Ricardo?
It was Richard.
Hi, Richard. With that, yes, whenever you have that, so that is pretty typical response. However, go out there when the police arrive, say, I would like all of their names. You are banned. You are banned. You are banned. Right? This is where it, while the Sheriff's Department does have the ability to ban someone on county property per code, right? You as the property manager can and should be involved in that process, right? I know that we want to seek services. PATH is a great resource to have because they're going to come check on them if they qualify or need services. That's answering that, right? Now we're not sleeping there because we are somewhere else. But if it is a repeat thing on county property, property manager has the authority. You call the cops. You meet them there, and you say, I am the property manager, and it's time for you to go. I am the property manager, it's time for you to go. And the benefit of doing that in front of law enforcement, if they get up and leave, fantastic, right? They can't come back for 24 hours. They come back 3 days later. Where are we now? It's the 7-day. Believe it or not, how many times? Our orange tent guy, 7 times. We chased him around 7 different locations. He was arrested 3 of them. Okay? Don't be dissuaded by inattention from law enforcement because they're doing their job. They got up and they left. Okay? As the property manager, giving you that authority to say, I do not want you to return. I do not want you to return. I do not want you to return. They're not using the community center, right? Community center is not a mandatory service. Okay? Yes?
Many of us are host locations for elections.
Yes.
Early voting and then election day.
Yes.
Am I the property manager?
For your facility and your programs, because it's the Board of Elections, they control all sites for early and day of voting.
So if they're being disruptive, people are being disruptive in our parking lot, impeding traffic flow,
then it's the Board of Elections to go to them and say this is what's occurring.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go to them, then they say no, it's your call.
And then if they say that, go take care of it in the parking lot.
Okay.
Yes, truly who follows the rules? The honest people, right? So what are we gonna see? They just wanna pass the buck. But they have said that it's yours, so now when someone comes back and says you can't do this because this is in charge of the Board of Elections. And then, well, I just asked them, you're on my property, this is the property of Loudoun County, time to go. Unfortunately, it is super duper hard to change voting locations. And there wasn't a whole lot of progressive thought in what places were made voting locations. This is a problem everywhere when it comes to traffic and population and lines and things of that nature. But yes, your property, if the Board of Elections says, not it, not me, then it is you.
Yes. A lot of the disruptions happen when managers are not there.
Yep.
Sites that we're not physically oversee, but we're not there.
Yep.
Are we allowed to get permission to ban people via phone or not on site?
So this is where I tell you that a property manager does not necessarily have to be a manager. They can be a manager of a program or a supervisor of a program. And operating hours, there should be a property manager on site. Okay. It doesn't mean that later, let's say that it happened last night, you're the first one in the door, you have what happened. It does not mean that you can't issue that ban after the fact. Does that make sense?
Yes. Because a lot of times they are part-time staff.
Sure. Sure. But if they know their names, they have the descriptions, it does not have to be on site. This is the behavior that you are exhibiting and you are banned. It can happen. And it would be dated from when you serve it. Okay? Did everybody hear that? It was after hours, part-time staff incident. So if there's not a property manager on, then that is it can be, you can be banned after the fact. It does not have to be that face-to-face. We've talked about this in the office. We obviously don't necessarily want you all delivering anything, but let's say that we know they're coming back tomorrow for that program. Can we be ready and have that? Hey, look, 24-hour ban. You can come back next Thursday. You can come back next week. But for today, you out. Okay? Yes?
I just want to clarify. When you do that, does the ban start when you're giving them
yes.
that?
And yes.
And not when the incident
no,
occurred?
No, it is when you give it to them. Because they did not know. Mm-hmm. Right? So now that you know, that is your stopwatch flicker. Okay? Yes?
For our volunteer program, is it appropriate training then for our volunteers if they're encountering someone who is being disruptive to immediately go get a supervisor and then the supervisor would take it from there?
If they were property manager trained, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And if there's not one, the number is always 911.
If the person doing the disruption is a spicy volunteer, it applies just like everybody else.
Spicy volunteer, I don't know if that would be included in the... This is not for employees, and I think that's a different process. I'm not sure that you can have a volunteer asked to leave by an employee. It might be a different process.
Okay, I'll ask.
Good Lord, it's my mom.
Does she have a question?
No. She'll call me, and I'm like, oh, what now, Mom? Like, I did her whole church security thing by phone consultation. anybody else have any questions? These are great questions. And, like, I laugh because everybody's like, well, how long does this take? Well, it takes me about 20 minutes to go through the PowerPoint, and I'll stay for as long as you want if you got questions. Because you guys are the practical application of this, right? I can give you the meat and potatoes, and I can tell you what you can do. You all are the ones who know how this fit into your programs, into your facilities, into your parks. Let's go with Banshee Reeks. Really? How are we going to do this? Well, it's only going to take one incident for someone to say, hey, wait, I can make this happen. Okay? This is just a tool in your toolbox, the, you know, card in your back pocket. Okay? I hope that no one has to do this. However, I want you to know that you can. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
This building.
Yes.
Our government facility. There's some unhoused people that are here, but just, and they're not. I mean, what is the process with that?
Ask them to leave.
There's usually not someone really here, I mean, at certain times. So it is what it is.
Well, and you know, so now that you know, can you make someone who is a property manager be around when you know this is occurring? That's what we do. We are frequently on. Someone says, hey, look, I think I saw a tent. Well, then we look like little ants. The office goes out in our cars and travels around to all of our normal places to see what we can find, right? If you know that they come in after 4 and leave before 6, can you be there at 5:30? Somebody who is a property manager?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Law enforcement, 24/7. Can you call the other benefit of calling law enforcement? They also have mental health training, and they have the ability to connect to services faster than we do. Okay. Do we know if someone's in a medical emergency or just on drugs? Do we care? No. The number is 911. Right? That is something that we recognize. Time to go. All right. Anybody else? Yes.
I was just going to ask, so, you know, here's a room full of property managers.
Yes.
An incident happens here.
Yes.
Any one of the property.
Absolutely. This is transferable. You are a PRCS property manager. So let's say that you come into work to your facility and someone's like, we need somebody to go cover somewhere else. You are still the property manager for a PRCS facility, property leased, owned, or event. Okay? Yes.
What if you call 911 and they do a drive-by and you can't grab them and they're gone? And you say, like, hey, like, please have them stop in or please have them call me so I can further explain when you talk to dispatch.
Yes.
And then you see them drive in, drive out.
Yep.
Never again. Like, what? How do you get them?
So if you have called 911 or the non-emergency number, if they don't ask you if you want to be seen, then you tell them, I would like to speak to the officer. Okay? When that happens, they should either call or stop. If not, then you call them back. We cannot control what they're going to do today, but we can hold them accountable. Okay? Should it be something that after the fact you're like, yeah, something's not right about that, you can make a police report online. There is an online system. That online system is monitored by law enforcement officers. There are deputies in charge of that. I've made several. Most always, a deputy reaches out and either asks me for more information or, you know, fill in the blank. They asked me for if I had footage of it once. I mean, so there it is monitored, right? I don't want you to use that if you need help. Okay? I want you to call them, but you 100% ask to be seen. Again, we're starting that pattern and that process. So if we get to our 7 days and we still can't figure out how to behave, we have that pattern to go to the county administrator and say, this person obviously needs to not be in the facility. Anybody else? Great questions. These are all great questions.
There's an online question. Can I have my assistant manager watch this recorded meeting to get her trained as a property manager?
I will be doing this online at least twice a month for the foreseeable future. The next one is October 30th, December 5th. No, November 5th, November 19th. So anyone who you know that needs this, that is where they will be able to find it. We will publish the list of dates. It'll come through PAC, because PAC did the original rollout of this sign up. So they're actually sending out when people get designated, they're sending out the dates. Should you know someone that needs the training and you don't hear from PAC, please reach out to me and I will give you the link. And in fact, maybe Steve, I'll just send it to you. I'll send those 3 dates and then anybody who needs it will have those links to be able to attend and become a property manager. Yes.
So at our rec center, I would say probably 4 out of 5 of our like disruptive situations are with children under the age of 18. What are there any differences or changes?
Good question. So the law is the law. It does not say you have to be 18 to be trespassed. Okay. There's a different process, but that is not for any of us to handle. That is a court process that is out of our hands. Okay. Does not matter if they're. So with that, if you have, look, it's mom again. If you have individuals that are under 18 and they are wreaking havoc, right? Naming them is best. However, again, law enforcement, when law enforcement arrive, you say it's that bunch over there. I would like them identified to ban them. Okay? They have to comply. Again, law enforcement, can they call their parents? Yes. Can they take them home? Yes. Okay? So they have a whole lot more tools in their toolbox. This gives you the ability to call them and say, look, I am a property manager, which means I can tell them that it's disruptive behavior. They got to go. Okay? It does not matter. 15, 16, 17. I don't know how much luck you'd have with law enforcement if they're younger than that. But but yes, it does not matter how old they are. They can still be banned from the facility. Okay? Yes?
Could you reiterate something? Did you say that Leesburg police were also tied into this? I saw Purcellville and some others listed. Is Leesburg?
Oh, it doesn't matter. So okay. what we want you to understand is that law enforcement will respond. Okay? When we start splitting hairs of who has what facility, when it comes down to it, it's Loudoun County property. Okay? So, which is why 911 is the better way to go, because it is all, I think I'm in Leesburg, but the building really is in Loudoun County, and so how do we determine 911? Single system, and we'll be able to determine. They also mass dispatch, which means that even if it's Leesburg, Loudoun County hears the call. Okay? Same thing. Loudoun County gets a call, and it's close to the line, Idley and Rust, right? They share a parking lot that's not in Loudoun County, right? They can hear. Leesburg can hear, like the parking lot is Leesburg's, but the building is the sheriff's department. Super fun. But that's where calling the non-emergency number kind of gets us in that trick bag, because if we want response, the number is 911. Okay?
We have experienced different responses. In other words, Loudoun County, we get great response. I'm asking this question for Jamie. She's in Leesburg. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, we cannot control what happens on their end, but we can do what we can, which is act as that person in charge to say, I want them gone. Right? We're not asking the police department to make that decision. We are calling them because I've either already told them they're going to leave, or I was waiting for them to show up so I can tell them to leave. Okay? We're not asking law enforcement to enforce this for us. We're asking them to support our authority for them to leave. Always great questions. Anybody else? Okay, yes.
I'm gonna ask it. Okay, if it is a criminal offense,
the number is 911.
Yes, but do you ban, can the ban, like if it is really bad, can the ban with the administrator jump to a year?
Yeah. We've gone that route. We've seen 6 months, we've seen 45 days, we've seen a year, right? It is what the recommendation is. Right? However, what we also have at that point is a criminal charge. Okay? So, yes, all of that is in consideration when it comes to us and the county attorney before it goes to Mr. Hemstreet.
Anybody else?
Yay! All right, I think I got it all. All
right. Good job.
Thank you, Katie. I appreciate you all coming out and sharing time with us on that important topic. We are going to move now to Liz with some updates with human resources. And I know she's going to be talking about the language stipend. And I think there was one other thing you were going to mention. I forgot to wear my
prop.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning. So we can go to the next slide, please, Noah.
So our language stipends, they revised this admin policy online back on June 9th of this year, which is when I talked about it the first time. So this is just coming up because now we're starting to actually get into the process of getting requests from current incumbents, and that's really who it affects. Because on the front end, our staff and HR are accounting for their language if it was a preferred skill or required skill on the salary worksheet. But this is just to help us help you and help your staff. So I wanted to lay out some clear process guidelines. It allows for the 8 most commonly spoken languages in the county other than or outside of English, whereas before it was Spanish and that was pretty much it. So it also does allow for our current incumbents, not just new staff or new hires, to get the language stipend if they take and pass the test. So questions that I've received on our end is I get emails directly from employees, hey, I want this. I've gotten questions about, do I need to take the test if I already took it? So these are just to help you guys also guide your staff. These requests need to come directly from the supervisor to PRCSHR. So whenever I've gotten emails or I've directed our staff who've received emails from employees just to redirect them to their supervisors. So you may get questions along the way. Obviously, I think more also important to mention is just because you speak another language does not necessarily mean that you should get a stipend. So if you don't ever interact with the public, but you speak another language as a supervisor, if that is not a skill that's benefiting the public or your patrons or our customers, then you need to consider whether or not you support sending them over to us to request that to request that stipend. And if you have questions, you can always reach out to myself. You can talk to Myla. Technically, the department director is the only one who should be approving language stipends. He's not going to sit there and do that for 200 people. He's clearly very busy, so we do have delegated authority for lots of things in the department. If I have questions, I'm not sure, I'm going to go to somebody above my pay grade, my list, to even ask if they support a stipend. So if you can go to the next slide for me, please, Noah. So here's our process. If they didn't take the language test before, and they're in a position, maybe they've moved into a different position where their first position they were hired into, there wasn't a preferred, we would like this person to speak a different language on the job requirement, on the job ad. It wasn't accounted for on the salary worksheet. Now they get promoted into a different position where, hey, this was part of the advertisement, or hey, this is a skill set that we know the public benefits from. Then that's how you can request that through going through PRCSHR, just send the email. And then we don't know. This is the really important part. Our staff, they don't know this person did or didn't take a test. So that's why it's important for you to let us know, because then we can go check a salary worksheet. Because usually on the salary worksheet is where we're going to see we gave them credit for it. So then they would go schedule like your applicants would to take the language test. We receive the results. I have asked Chitra to have her team start and make sure that they're notifying the person, and then also CC the manager, so that way both parties are aware you passed or you didn't pass. Typically, a stipend takes effect in the next pay period. That payroll can process it. So we put that information, send it over to our HR person over in county HR, then they hand it off to payroll, and then they set that up. So again, if you have questions and you're not sure, you always can reach out to me, and in my absence, you can reach out to Myla. So next slide, please. So I already talked about this. PRCS won't approve language tests that come directly from an employee. And a lot of times what I've seen is their supervisor is not copied. So obviously I want you to be informed first, and so I'll send the employee back to you. And then sometimes I don't hear from them, or I don't hear from the supervisor, and okay. The next slide here, we talked about that. So then this is another one that's come up. Regardless of how many languages a person may speak, you get one stipend. That's it. And then I talked about Steve being the department director has a right to approve or deny a stipend for languages. Thank you. Next. We'll go back one, sorry.
You have an online question.
I have an online question. That's what I was going to ask. Pause here. Any questions on this?
The online question is, are there any guidelines to have staff speak English at sites and on shifts to each other?
Thank you for that question. Are any guidelines, or is there a rule where that says you have to speak in English to supervisors? You've got to be able to understand direction provided to you by your supervisor in English. That is the expectation. Stipends also aren't given to employees to be able to speak to each other, because again, you need to be able to take direction directly from your supervisor in English. So that is not a reason to give somebody a stipend or to direct them. You have to speak in English to your coworker. Okay, got two questions, Robert.
How did they get signed up? Like, let's say we got a CSS, like, we are thrilled that they speak Spanish, we want to get them the stipend. How did they get signed up for the test?
So, Chitra, correct me if I'm wrong, because that's kind of in the weeds process with the signing up for the test. From what I recall in the past, whether they're an external candidate or an internal employee, they have to schedule their test with Alta, which is our vendor. So they'll get an email from our staff and HR. Here's the information. You call and schedule your test. You show up at your appointed time, and then we get the results.
So their first email is to... Is me emailing PRCS HR?
Yes. Robert's question was, the first step is the supervisor emails PRCS HR. Yes. And then we turn around and send the link to the employee. Okay.
I may have a follow-up question depending on the first. What are the eight languages that are...
Off the top of my head, I can't rattle off the eight languages, but they are in, there are two admin policies, and these are language admin policies, they're not HR admin policies. So when you go to the intranet, one tells you the how and the why, and the other one covers the languages themselves.
Thank you.
Sure. Got one, Susan.
It's a one-time stipend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what if they don't pass the first time? Can they take it again?
We generally don't let people retest. The cost to the county, which is what the department bears, is $75 per test. Yes.
Okay, so if they speak another language, do they have to be already conversing in that language with the public? Because, like, in our program, there's a specific amount of parents. What if nobody in our pool of parents that they deal with speak their language? Are they going to, can they take it just in case somebody joins and speaks that language, or do they already have to be currently?
So, generally speaking, again, those are great questions, and those are some I've heard as well. Beth's question was essentially, in the example of a CASA site that has parents that speak a different language, a specific different language, the employee does speak a different language. So they're, essentially, they're not using it, right? It's a just in case.
Right.
So I would wait until that actually comes up.
Okay.
So if somebody then comes and now I'm enrolled in your program and now this language can be used, that should then trigger taking the test for the stipend. Good question. Now, public is a little different because that's less controllable, and there's more probability that the person's going to be interacting with somebody who speaks their language as well. Good question. Anyone else? Okay. We're going to move on now to our second part, which is our dress code revision. So I know we were all waiting on this update. It's finally been reviewed, approved by labor relations, by the county attorney, the department. This was all discussed with division managers on the front end. So we're really pointing out just what's changed. These updates are effective November 1st. So what has changed, what is new, is it's defined that closed-toed athletic shoes are now included in the definition of business casual. So I don't need any more requests for accommodations. So, yay! You can wear your sneakers, closed-toed athletic shoes. So, we also clarified a couple of items that were already in the policy. We just wanted to have more clarification because we were getting a lot of questions throughout the years. One, dress for the day has actually now been clarified to say what can be worn in the office versus when you're leading specific types of programs. So, you're in the office, you're wearing office attire. You're going out and leading a yoga class, you can change into your yoga attire, come back to the office, you put your office clothes back on. Okay? Second, Although leggings and hoodies were not included as part of the definition under business casual before the updates, specifically they do say now when they can be worn by which types of staff. So it's more spelled out. So I can't come to the office in my leggings if I work in an office and just that's, or a hoodie, you know, even if I'm teleworking. I think that that would also be another thing where
we didn't. Telework is not covered.
Not covered in the revision. So revision. Technically, if you are teleworking, if you have telework, you could wear a hoodie because it's not addressed, right?
I don't suggest anyone leaving the hood up. That's been the problem. No, I'm not sure it's not. But now there's no hoodies.
Does everybody in the room hear that? Yep. Okay. No? Okay. She said, Myla said, I don't suggest people leave their hoodies up if you're on camera. And that's kind of where it has come up is like, you probably want to take your hood off when you're on camera, even if you have a hoodie on. Okay. Any questions? What questions? Jess?
Did you say this is posted online already?
It is.
Sean has already put it in the Power DMS.
Okay. It's up on Power DMS. Yes, Andy.
Just a clarification for people who teach sail in this building. We do have people who do exercise classes in this building. So if you see someone in exercise clothes, they're in this building, they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yep, so and to Andy's point, we do have office staff in this building in particular with AAA that host sail classes in usually in this room, and so they're typically dressed in that type of attire, and that's acceptable because they're doing that activity at the time. Okay. What other questions? Anything online? No?
I think we're getting big thumbs up, though, about the
thumbs
athletic
up?
Shoes.
Okay, yep. So that's a positive change. Athletic shoes are now acceptable. You can wear your Hey Dudes. No, just go ahead.
Hey Dudes aren't acceptable.
I don't have Hey Dudes, but if you do, you can wear them. All right. If we have no more questions, that is it for me. Thank you.
All right, Elizabeth, are we good?
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of things before we move on. The presentation that we had earlier, I know that was a lot of heavy stuff and whatnot, but the reality is we do have a lot of interaction with the public. We do. They mentioned the libraries a lot, and I can tell you that there have been conversations with the libraries with me asking, how is it that you all don't have as many bands as we do? And a lot of that has to do, quite frankly, with our customer service and how you all initially react and interact with the public. It's very inviting that we have, and I'm not saying that libraries don't, it's a different environment. We are wanting people to come in, you all always engage in them, and I can tell you that makes a big, big difference on how people feel when they come into our facilities. And you also do a great job of what we have always talked about, and that is relationship building. The people know you, and they're less apt to get out of control when they know you. So one thing I will say, though, is we have established the list of the folks that are officially going to be designated as the property managers. We will get that out, and generally it's the manager and assistant manager of the site. If something happens after hours, that was a great question over here, it would be a preference to have one of those designated property managers actually dealing with that. But the one thing I want to make very clear, and we'll put this all in our updated policies, is if you are ever in a situation where you are going to or thinking of banning, you need to be on the phone and be calling your assistant director so that you're not be doing that in a vacuum. Okay, because one of the things that we want to make sure is happening is that everyone at our sites, particularly the staff, remain safe, but we also want to be consistent, because one of the things that we have had happen in the past is people getting banned at this facility for an activity, but the activity goes on over here and they don't. Okay, and we need to make sure that we have consistent application of what we're talking about here this morning. So I know that that was a heavy thing, and I knew it was going to be heavy discussion, which is why we're going to have a little bit of fun for a few minutes, okay? Competition is big in PRCS, so I...
I was just going to ask, when you're talking about consistency across the board,
yes.
Is there a chain of communication to let people know this person has been banned at the specific sites?
So if there is a ban of all PRCS sites, we will let the managers know that. All right. So go ahead while you get set. So Emma, you need to slide that way a little bit. All of y'all slide over that way. So we're cutting the room in half here. So you can stay in the middle on both sides. I'm just kidding. You're on this side. So split. All right. So this is going to be team one over here. And this is going to be team two. We love to use technology here. So we're going to have some fun with technology today. I'm going to turn it over to Elizabeth.
Thank you. So just so you know, I was secretary for one of the resource groups for VRPS, and I was looking for ways to connect when you're doing meetings online. So this is an opportunity to learn about a tool that maybe you could also use, but in a fun way. So there are people online who are competing with Team One, and they are Deborah Mobley with Home Delivered Meals, Aaron Schwartz with Facilities Planning, and Nick Wilt with Latin Valley Community Center. Team two, right now you have two amazing artists, Kristen Backlund, the Sterling After School Specialist, and Ben Curtis. And I think maybe your guys are stacked because they both said, awesome, we're in. Okay, so they have been given topics in advance. So let's see. Deborah, I think you are first up, and what you want to do is just start drawing your topic, and team one will start to guess.
We just call it out.
You just call it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is team one.
It's Pictionary, basically.
Pictionary. So this is team one. So Deborah, go ahead.
Deborah, when you're ready, just start drawing.
Come on, team one. We're team one.
Team one is over here.
Are there categories?
Oh, yes. We have a timer. 2 minutes.
The category is PRCS activities.
Okay, go, Deborah. In fairness, none of the people have ever done this before, so if you're having trouble...
Oh, no!
Hold on. Deborah, so you want to make sure that you're selecting one of the drawing tools at the bottom of your screen, like the pen or... I know. There she goes. We got home delivered meals. Is that the answer? Yes. Great job, Deborah. Okay, okay, settle down. Settle down. Don't be too cocky in your win. Okay, team two, now you see how it goes. All right, team two, let's see. How about Kristen? Are you ready? Let's see. Noah's going to clear the screen. There we go. All right, Kristen. Okay, go, girl, go. Team two.
Same thing.
Fireworks.
Lots of little lines.
Fireworks.
That's
what I need. Do you like to steal?
Okay. So Barbara got the first part for you, but there's more to it. So just keep paying attention to what she's done. Emily got it. Barbara's to Franklin Park. Way to go.
See how far this is?
I'm so
helpful. All right, team one again, so you can guess this time. All right, Aaron. Okay, we're clearing the screen. Hold on. Thank you, Noah, for being up for this. I appreciate it.
I know, everybody's
just
hold on. Okay. All right, Aaron, are you ready for team one? Here we go. He's ready.
Field prep.
Woo-hoo. Good job, Aaron. All right. So team two, you've got Ben drawing for you.
He's a better technology.
I lost my paper. Ben, are you ready for team two?
Yes,
go.
Yeah, he's ready.
Okay.
Ben should just draw for the guy.
Now remember, we're not contributing over here.
Remember, this is team two, so team one, zip it.
Setting, say it again, customer
service.
Close, but not really.
Registration day.
Okay, we're not.
No.
Camp registration.
Hamburger.
Nope, it has nothing to do with camps.
Quarterly profits.
I mean, you're close when you say quarterly profits.
Okay, help them. Online says budget meeting, point of
budget
sale.
Budget presentation.
Oh,
very good. And Rick, you were capturing photos of these drawings. Yes. Awesome. All right, team one, this is your last one. And we have Nick from Loudoun Valley Community Center.
Nick,
as soon as we get the timer up, you can start.
Here you go.
Okay, ribbon cutting. Great job, Nick. Okay, we have one more. Okay, settle down. Stop having so much fun. Settle down, team two. I hope, Kristen, you're ready to draw the last one.
No pressure.
No hinting.
I'm not going to hint. Fine.
No.
Start.
If you're ready, go.
Yeah, she's so good at that. She's so great.
This Kristen.
Nothingness.
She doesn't know it's Kristen.
Kristen, if you're ready.
Yeah, Kristen. Wait, I don't have a second one yet.
I emailed you a second one.
Uh-oh. Let me look.
Okay. Sorry. There wasn't a high-tech way to communicate.
I got it. Sorry about that.
Okay. Go, girl.
All right. I'm referring you.
Okay. 30. Go.
All right. Table.
Manager's meeting.
Are you team two?
Yes,
that was it.
Excellent job.
I thought we were team.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all. The couple of things, just a reminder. I said this when I was in the new employee orientation, is what we do every day is challenging, and you have to take time to have fun. You have to take time to find a way to laugh every day. You have to take time to do things that keep the environment light. And so this is just something we wanted to do and have a good time. Now, granted, Ben, I need to talk with you a little bit later for drawing me bald, but we'll deal with that at a later time. I want to stick with our time, so we're probably going to go very quickly with the 60-second showcase, but I do want to take a point of personal privilege. Brenda Davis is getting ready to retire, and she is online with us today and was not here in person. And I just wanted, on behalf of the department, Brenda, to thank you for all of your years of service. Working with the seniors is fun, but I also know it can be very challenging, and you have done an exceptional job for us, and well done. So,
thank you.
All right, who's got something to, we're just going to popcorn and throw it out real quick. Who's got something to share real quick? Danielle.
Help us celebrate Lights On After School this afternoon. If you're in the area of elementary school that hosts a CASA or YAS site, we're all celebrating Lights On After School and our CASA academies. Thank you.
Good deal. Anybody else? Yeah, Kristen. Steps in this morning.
Hi. I just wanted to take a minute and remind everybody about the viewpoint of a participant or customer. So I have a one-year-old grandson who, if you know me, the sun rises and sets on him. And I've had the opportunity recently to be out into some of our parks and facilities with him as a customer. And gosh, we are so lucky as a community to have what we all offer every day. We went to Truck or Treat, which was a joint venture between Claudemore Park and Claudemore Recreation Center, along with the Heritage Farm Museum. He had a blast. My husband and I, it was our first time taking him somewhere by ourselves. The staff were so nice to us. It was set up so beautifully, the care of the haunted house to the little mini hay maze that he could go through, all the trucks and fire trucks. And it's everything that everyone does every day that gets those memories and experiences. And when we were going home, I was just so proud to be a part of PRCS. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Kristen. Anything else? Yes.
I just want to remind everybody that today at the Carver Center we have the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile. We'll be there from 1 to 2:30, I think Bonnie said they have some of the little whistles, so everybody can get a whistle and pop in.
All right. I'm not sure we can top the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile. Anybody else? Okay. As usual, before you leave, please scan your QR codes so that we know that you are here. And as always, thank you all for being the best department in the county and for all that you do each and every day. I hope you have a great weekend. Be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Okay, that's the end of the meeting.
I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm